Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net. In this module, we're going to create our first Azure mobile service. We're going to talk about some of the interface elements in the Azure portal. We're going to download a sample application that they'll give us. We'll use the JavaScript client. We'll get it running locally, and so that we can begin to look at the source code and understand how it works. So we're going to try and do all of that in this module. Creating a new mobile service is very easy. We can just click create new mobile service in the main pane, or we can use the new menu at the bottom and choose mobile service and create. That's going to ask us for a URL, Bob's First Mams. We can use an existing database or create a new one. I'm going to use an existing database that I have, and we'll set up which one in the very next lesson, or rather in the very next step. And so I'm going to choose the region, East US, and the backend will be JavaScript. I'm not going to configure advanced push settings. There's really nothing there for me right now since I don't already have a notification hub defined in my Azure subscription. So go to the next page, and here we get to choose which of the databases we want to use. Now, I created one specifically for all of my Azure mobile services. It's called MAMS MS SQL, and so I'll choose that, and I'll give it up my password. And that should be all we need to do to get started by creating our first mobile service. Now, while that's creating, actually, let me go ahead and create a second one of these because I want to show you something that might not be readily apparent at first. MAMS.net. Let's see if that, okay, good. That URL is not taken. I'll use an existing database. We'll go East US again, but this time the backend I'm going to choose is .NET, and then I'll click Next. And we'll select our MAMS SQL, MS SQL database, and we'll create that one as well. All right, so now we wait. Okay, so both services have been created. Let me go ahead and start with the JavaScript backend version. Bob's First MAMS, and you can see across the top I have the following, tabs: dashboard, data, API, scheduler, push, identity, configure, scale, and logs. Now compare that with the .NET version. We only have scheduler, push, identity, configure, scale, logs. You see the difference between the two? The JavaScript version has a data tab and an API tab, and the C# version doesn't. And so if you choose to use a .NET backend as opposed to the JavaScript backend, the data and the API tabs are not visible in the portal because both your data access and any custom APIs that you need are part of your Visual Studio solution, and so you have to deploy them from there. So those won't be part of your Azure Mobile Services solution. So let's just ignore that for now. Let's move on to our JavaScript solution. As I promised, there is a great way to create a getting started to do app. So let's say, for example, that I wanted to have the back end be JavaScript and the front end be HTML JavaScript. I can create a new HTML app, and it gives me this little step-by-step tutorial. First of all, we'll create a to-do item table in our database. Then we're going to download the code, the source code, locally. And then the third thing that we're going to do is configure your host names to allow calls between the domain where your application is hosted, which will initially be localhost, to your Azure Mobile Services endpoint. So this will allow you to bypass the security mechanism in your web browser. So by default, your web browser will not allow AJAX requests from your JavaScript originating from one domain to a server on a different domain name. So there's this W3C standard called CORS, Cross-Origin Resource Sharing, and it defines a way so that a browser and a server can interact to safely determine whether or not to allow cross-origin requests. So it's basically going to allow us more freedom and functionality than purely same origin requests, where all JavaScript that comes from one domain can only interact with web services on that same domain. Now we can make calls to a second domain, but it's more secure than allowing JavaScript to just make calls out to any domain that it wants to. So in this case, it's going to be safe for our page.js file, which we'll download in just a moment. It's going to make it safe for it to call to its origin, which is localhost, but it also make it safe to call back to this Azure Mobile Services endpoint URL so that it can interact and save data and things of that nature. Back, and we'll go ahead and forget our changes there. All right, so the first thing we'll do is create a to-do item table. And now that it's finished, let's go and take a look at our data tab. You'll see that we have one table, to-do item, and there are no records in the table. However, if we take a look at the columns, we can see the basic layout. At this point, there's no custom columns, but we'll see how those get added here in just a little bit. Furthermore, you can see that there is a set of permissions for insert, update, delete, and read. And essentially, every application is going to need this special application key. And we've seen the application key before. Now we can change this setting and say, well, anybody can insert one. You don't need the application key embedded in the application or pass along with the request. We can also choose to only have authenticated users. So we can set up authentication, and we're not going to do that in the next couple of modules, but we could say you have to be, first of all, authenticated through one of the social logins or one of the single sign-on providers. And then the other option is to only allow scripts and admins to perform inserts. So this would essentially be, a script would be either a job, a scheduled job, or a web API running and then making the inserts. But nobody can access the table directly from the client side. All right, so we'll just leave it as anybody with the application key. And let's go back and take a look at where the application key is actually found. Whoops. So like you might expect, we would find the application key here in the Manage Keys icon at the bottom, and we copy out that application key and add it to our app, and we'll see how that comes into play in just a few moments. All right, but at any rate, one other thing I want to point out about the data is that you'll notice that there's really no way to add records here. You can say, let's go ahead and add it, but it'll just pop you back here. And that's not all that useful. So we'll talk about that in just a moment or in the next module where we actually try to add data to a table. All right, so now we can download and run the application. So we're looking for our downloads directory. We're looking for Bob's first mams.html. And so let me drop that over onto the desktop, and I'll unzip it right there. We'll just put it to, call it to-do instead. All right, and so now we have this to-do folder here, and it's opened up in our main area. Now, the cool thing about this is that there's a server folder. If we double-click it, there's a number of these different scripts that will allow us to run an instance of the given web server. So in the case of Microsoft, it'll in the case of Windows, it'll run Internet Information Services. I think the others will just run Node. I'm not sure, but I think just Node in order to deploy the application and see it running live. It might use Apache. I'm not sure. I haven't tried it. But if you double click this Launch Windows, you'll get the security warning, and then you'll get this little command window that says that it will start IIS Express at a given port, and you can say don't run it or run it. And I'll say run once, and it's successfully registered the URL localhost colon 8000. So now if I open up my web browser and go to localhost 8000, you see I've been here before. And if we can convince Internet Explorer to do this, there we go. So we get this is running now off of my desktop, and my desktop folder / to-do folder. And this is the index.html, the style.css, and the page.js files that we see here. Okay. And so it's going to communicate with the backend up in our Azure Mobile Service. First to do item, second to do item, and so on. And we can also delete an item. We can say it's finished. Here's the third to do item, and so on. Okay. So now let's take a look back in Azure Mobile Services and go back to the data tab. And now we'll look at the data table, and you'll notice a couple of different things. First of all, we have three records, but in addition to that, we have two new fields, a text field and a complete field. So where did those columns come from? They weren't there a moment ago. Well, basically, Microsoft Azure Mobile Services has this idea of a dynamic schema, and it's enabled by default whenever you create a new Azure Mobile Service. And so when it's enabled, it automatically will generate new columns based on a JSON object that's used in an insert or an update request. So once a column is created, then its data type cannot be changed. So insert or update operations will fail when the type of the property from that point on in the JavaScript object can't be converted to the type that was of the equivalent column that was originally created. So basically, it dynamically created those two fields the first time that we attempted to write data into the database, passing a JSON object with those two values. In our case, it would have been like a text would have been whatever it was here. Let's go back to browse. It would have been a first to do item, and the complete was set to false, okay? Now, like I said, you really can't do much in terms of, you certainly can't add items here in this limited database management tab. You can delete records. Like I'm doing here. And they'll be permanently removed from the database. But you can't edit or do anything else, unfortunately. All right, so there's one last thing that I want to point out, and we'll work with this in earnest in a little bit. You have the ability to write these CRUD scripts. So say, for example, before an insert is performed, we get to essentially inject our own code into that process. So we can stop it, make sure that the user has the correct permissions, validate the data to make sure it's within a given range before we actually then allow that request to execute. And that's, again, true for all of the typical CRUD operations, insert, update, delete, and read. Okay. All right, so that's enough for this module. Well, actually, let's do one more thing. Just to stop this, you just hit just stop it like that. Let's open up to do one more time. And I'm actually going to open up the index.html in Sublime. I'll actually open up the page as well and the style sheet. Okay. And Sublime is a text editor that's popular with all the cool kids. So we'll just take a look at this for now. The HTML page doesn't really have much to it other than calls out to the various scripts that it needs. It'll need not only the jQuery script, but also this mobile services .web-1.2.5.min.js. So this is the client-side library for JavaScript. And then it also makes a call out to the page.js. That's where we have our custom JavaScript. In the JavaScript itself, we're going to go through this a little bit more depth in the next module. But essentially, the first thing that we're going to do is create a new instance of the Microsoft Azure Mobile Service Client, passing in. And notice what it has done for us. It has already put in here our Azure Mobile Services account name, Bob's First MAMS. I didn't have to add that. Additionally, it adds the application key. I didn't have to add that either. All right. And then it sets up a few functions and calls one of the functions here at the very start. So initially, whenever it's supposed to load, it's going to run this refresh to do items. And refresh to do items is going to go out to the table and select all records where the complete column equals false. Now that we have that array of items from the database, an array of objects that represent rows in the database, we can then start to perform this anonymous function where essentially we're just saying for all items in our to-do items, all the records that were brought back from our query, perform this function, and that function will essentially just add list items that will be used for each of the items as they're listed on our web page, the to-do items that we've already added. They come complete with a delete button on the right side and a checkbox on the left side, and a input box that's styled up to not look like an input box when we don't have our cursor in it. And that will be courtesy of our style.css page. And then here in our styles, just a bunch of styles to make it look good. So at any rate, you'll see that there are functions to actually handle the various events for whenever the complete checkbox has been checked, whenever the delete button has been clicked, whenever we go to edit the text on a given item. So we edit the text box and change first to-do item to my first to-do item edited by Bob or something like that. And it will perform these operations. Now, the one last thing it's going to do is in each case, it's going to need to know which of the to-do items are we currently working with in JavaScript. So it's going to call this getToDo item. It's going to pass, when you pass in the form element, it's going to use jQuery to find the closest item with the attribute to-do item ID, which will give us the ID that corresponds with the row in the database up in Azure Mobile Services. So again, that's just a whirlwind tour of all of the functionality of this page.js file. That's pretty much it for this module. Probably said more than I needed to, but hopefully that'll help you gain your bearings as you get started using Azure Mobile Services. So we'll do some more interesting thing in the next module. See you there. Thank you.